Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God. Welcome to this month's new series. As you listen, may you be blessed and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Our October series, we are focusing this month on Fill Up His House. Fill up His House. And I think we've also launched an operation Fill Up. Hallelujah. Amen. Operation Fill Up. So this month, we're going to fill up. We're not just going to talk. Every branch, I must see this month, going forward, your house must be filled. See, now you are quiet. It's very possible. And we're going to be galvanizing ourselves with the Word of God this whole month. Amen. Our foundational scripture is the book of Luke 14. And we're going to read what the Bible says. Amen. It says, then he said to them, a certain man gave a great supper. This whole month, I'm going to be taking you through the reasons why churches are not filled up. Because everything is in this story. You're going to see why maybe your church is not filled up. But today I'm just introducing it. Then we're going to have the communion. A certain man gave what? A great supper. And invited many. These are all keys. And sent his servant. Another key. At supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Another key. But then they all with one accord began to make excuses. Another key. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Wow. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, another key, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done. Wow. That's a powerful servant. Gets things done. Another key. It is done. It is done as you commanded. And still there is room. Another key. May God give. I think we might even need a camp. This whole thing needs like a whole camp. But we're going to try with the time we're going to have to see how far we can go. There is still room. What you asked me to do, I did it. I got the lame, the maimed, the blind. I went in the streets and the lanes of the city. I did that. So, let's go on. No. Master, I did what you said, but I'm not happy because there's still room. Yeah. What a servant. It's not the master who came to see there was still room. It is the servant who fulfilled the duty. But notice there was still room and he was not okay with it. So he reported that I did what you said. But I'm also reporting that there is still room. What a servant. When we are always looking for a way to show there's no room, there's nothing that needs to be done. We've done what we're supposed to do. Let's move on. Let's move on with what we're supposed to do. This servant reported that there are still empty chairs. Then the master said to him, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. And this is where our series is coming from. Fill up his house. Why? Because he says, that my house may be filled. That my house. That my house. That my house may be filled. That my house. One of the emptiest houses on earth. A house that is never filled, just in few places. Every other house gets filled. Police stations are filled. Malls are filled. Taverns are filled. A house that constantly is empty, half filled, never filled, is God's house. A house that is never filled. There are chairs in there that have never been used since inspection. When he is saying that my house may be filled, it's a cry that how come every other house gets filled except my house? The master did three things to ensure that his house would be filled. Number one, he sent his servant to those who were invited. That's how he started. These people were already invited. Do you invite people and then you send people again to go collect them? Normally you don't do that. But if you're going to have a filled house, you will not only invite people. After inviting them, you have to go and gather them. If you don't gather them, the house is not filled. They were invited. They received all invitations. And that is sometimes the mistake many of us make. And that's why the church ends up not being filled. Is because you say, no, I invited her, she's going to come. I invited him, she's going to come. After inviting the people, he sent a servant to go to each one of them and say, no, it's time. That is what we call gathering. Gathering. Those of you that are saying, no, but nobody brought me to church. I just came to church by myself. You know, you were led by the Lord. But normally, based on Luke 14, we need to gather people on Sunday morning. Gathering must happen. If you are just assuming, I invited her, I sent her a WhatsApp message, I sent him a poster, he will come. You will keep repeating empty houses. Week in and week out. So even though he had invited people, he sent the servant to go and gather them. I'm talking to all my people that are into the business of gathering. You are doing it right. You might need a few other skills that which we're going to learn this month, but you are doing it right. Let nobody deceive you into thinking, I mean, what is this that you are doing every Sunday? You are doing the right thing, because after the master prepared a great supper, he sent the servant to go and gather the members. These people were invited, and you will think that because they were invited, they were supposed to have come by themselves. And as you keep reading, you realize that none of them came, even though they were invited. Which is what keeps happening every Sunday. At least, he was able to come and report, none of them has come. so that they can make a plan B. Imagine if the servant and the master were just sitting there, they kept fixing the chairs, they kept fixing the worship, they kept fixing the choir, waiting for the people to come. They were going to be in for the shock of their life because they were going to wait the whole day and nobody was going to show up. And just like many of us keep waiting every Sunday, you keep looking at the doors, you keep looking at the windows, because you are wishing and hoping that people will come. You are until you're going to use binoculars. You'll be using binoculars. The master didn't make that mistake. No. He sent the guy, go and gather these people. Go and gather them. And look at what happened when he went to gather them. Excuses left, right, and center. The second thing he did, he sent his same servant in the streets. First of all, he sent the servant to the invitees. Do you understand? The first time he sent the servant, he said, go and tell those that were invited to come. Everything is now ready. He returned with nobody but a bag of excuses. Then the master sent him back. He says, now, go to the streets and the lanes of the city. Then gather the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. He changed the invitation list immediately. If the people he had invited had come, there was no place in his party for poor people, for maimed people, and for lame people. But because the people he invited let him down, he needed to think fast and come up with a quick plan. This is why churches are empty, because people are stuck in their ways. No, I invited her last week, she didn't come. I invited her the other week, she also didn't come. And this week again, she didn't come. You see, you have remained with the same invitees. It's because we remain with the same invitees that the chairs are empty. If you are a pastor out there, I'm also talking to you. We are helping each other this morning. That's so we understand why our churches are the way they are. Yeah. Imagine having a party with strangers. People You've never even said hello to them before. But they are eating your food. They are drinking your juice. They are sitting on your nice chairs that you have arranged. Brother, that is the price for a field house. If you are not willing to go for strangers, for people you meet, you will be seeing that same Sunday morning. And you know, when he went for the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, people came. What that means is that there are always people ready to attend your service. Even at the last minute, there are always people that can fill a chair at your service. But if you don't have this mind and this spirit, you will keep having empty chairs to sing to, because you will say the people I invited did not come. And you report back and say the people I invited did not come. It's true they did not come. But there are other people you did not invite, but that you can still have in that party if you know how to do it. So he sent his servant to the street and he managed to gather some uninvited guests. But then there was still room. So he sent his servant for the third time. How many times have you gathered on a Sunday morning? As there, you start gathering at 10:30. So you now see that. I mean, if this guy, the service is starting at, the party is starting at 11, and he started gathering at 10:30, and he has already hit all the excuses, he's already discouraged. The reason why this master won, first of all, he got all things ready early. and he didn't assume that his invitees will come. He sent his servant to go gather them. And when he came without anything, he made a plan B immediately. And after he made his plan B, there was still room. He made a plan C. He sent his servant to their highways. Remember, he first sent him to the streets and the lane. Just next door, just around where you are. The streets are just the areas where you are, the path. And he got a few just like that. Can I tell you something? There are always people on your street. You see where your church is? There are always people walking on this. They are going nowhere. They are going nowhere. It's just that you don't know this key. If you had people just on the street, you will get a number of people to be in your church. Yeah, but how can we just gather people on the street because we didn't tell them? Did this guy tell these people that he was having a party? He didn't. The people he told didn't show up. As is usually the case. To the highways. Now, that's further. Further. A highway is usually not near your road. Do you understand? A highway, those are national roads. There are very few of them to start with. And they are usually far. So the idea of the highway here is like now you have gone a bit further, deeper. You've covered your invitations, you've covered the areas around, but then if you really want the house to not be empty, you can't depend on the surroundings. For you to have a filled house, you need to bring the highway anointing. You need to go beyond. Now we start saying you need to bust. And this one, you have to use force. And it's not just the force of pulling people like goats inside something. It's the financial force. You're going to need money. Yeah. Otherwise, you gather from the highway once a month. After that, the type of problems you'll find yourself into after that gathering, after that highway adventure, you will say, no, I think let's stick with the lanes and the streets. Or to gather from the highway, you need anakazo, you need power. Yes, praise the Lord. I hope you are being blessed with these things. Look, Alive Bible Church is a working church. We are not just here to eat and eat and eat. This month, and we are talking work. We are working. So somebody asked me, what type of preaching? It's the preaching. I'm preaching the real preaching. Yes. We are here to work. Yeah. Now, you know, don't you ask yourself, why was this master so obsessed? Don't you feel obsession in this guy? Like he was obsessed that his house will not be empty. Like there was something in him that could not accept. Because there's no other way to explain how he made his people work so hard. If not that, there was something in him that had a problem with a half-filled or empty hall. Imagine this master was your pastor with the current attendances that you are usually giving to yourself. Why was this man so obsessed with having a filled house? Number one, you see, an empty house sends a message. Maybe you don't know. When you go to a place, do you understand? Nobody has to talk. If you go to a place and there were 50 chairs arranged and only 40 are filled, nobody has to say anything. You are already getting a lot of messages all by yourself. The hall is speaking. When you go to a hall, and the hall can sit 50 people, and there is 6 people that are sitting there listening to a message, are you not getting a message? The message that is unspoken is louder than the message that the pastor is preaching there. Every empty house is sending a message. Mark 11:13. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And the Bible is even quick to say, for it was not the season for figs. But now, this is the part that has always shocked me. The next line says, in response, Jesus said to it, meaning to the tree. The King James Version says, Jesus answered to the tree. Can you answer if nobody spoke? Huh? Can you respond if nobody has said something? The Bible says, in response, Jesus said to it. I mean, how can you talk to something that hasn't spoken? No, the tree spoke. Your chapel is speaking every Sunday to you. Huh? Your chairs are speaking. You will never put people here. In response, a fig tree that doesn't have a mouth has spoken to Jesus, and Jesus is responding, and Jesus responded in the harshest way possible. I mean, Jesus made sure that, you know what, I'm going to show you something. He said, let no one eat fruit from you, ever again. So if you want emptiness, I'm going to give you death. Jesus dealt with that situation decisively. He looks like the man with the party who wouldn't allow nonsense. So listen carefully. A house that is empty is speaking. If you enter a place and there's nobody, you're already asking yourself questions. Where is everybody? Where are the people? Huh? Maybe you don't know. But you are always speaking. And your church is always speaking. To the members. To yourself. To the first comers. He's speaking to them. And if you and I cannot wake up to change that prophecy, like the way Jesus did, using your words to prophesy, what must start happening, you'll be shocked. Number two, a half full house is also sending a message. When the house is empty, it's sending a message. When the house is half full, it's also sending a message. 1 Samuel 17, verse 43. Goliath said to David, am I a dog? That you have come at me with sticks? Am I a dog? If you read your Bible, nobody mentioned any word called dog to Goliath before. Goliath stood there and said, Send me a man that can challenge me and that I can fight. For 40 days, he asked for a man. After 40 days, they sent him a small boy. When he looked at the small boy, he got a message. And the message he got was that, you are a dog. You are actually a dog. He said, am I a dog? I've asked for a man. You sent me a child. Why? He asked for something. What he asked for is not what came. So whatever came sent him a message that, look, we don't consider you. And the Philistine cursed David by his God. You see, Jesus cursed the tree. And then the Philistine also, when he saw that the message that you are sending is not there, he cursed David. Am I a dog? So the thing has come, but it's not what I expected. That's the message. Yes, the house is filled, but it's not full. That's the message. You are not anointed. You don't know what you are doing. Your people are lazy. People don't like your church. It's a message. Number three, a full house sends a very powerful message. A full house sends a very, listen, an empty house sends a message. A half-filled house sends a message. But a full house also sends a powerful message. You don't need to speak. I say you don't need to speak. When your house is full, the message is clear. The message is clear. Proverbs 14 verse 28. In a multitude of people is a king's honor. In the multitude of people is a king's honor. And we are in the month of honor. And the Lord was asking us just now, if I am a father, where is my honor? Now he's asking, if I am your king, where is my honor? You will agree with me that truly, truly, if you and I knew that Jesus, the Son of God, was coming to that branch that Sunday morning, there is nothing you will not do. Not to make sure that the place is only clean. To make sure there are people everywhere. Why? Because the presence of people brings honor to the king. When the people are there, the king is feeling honored. But the same verse says, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. The lack of people. The lack of people is the downfall of a priest, of a prince. Acts 13 verse 45, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. Nobody spoke to them. When they saw the crowds, something spoke to them. Nobody said this and no advertisement. When they saw the crowds, they got the message. And the Bible says they were filled with jealousy and they began to contradict what Paul was saying and heap abuse on him. Because that was a clear message. We are losing the people to this man. John 12:32. If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. If I am lifted up in that branch, I will draw all people, not few people, all people, everybody will be drawn. Jesus has never been apologetic about the fact that he wants people. If I am lifted up, I draw all people to myself. He told his disciples in Matthew 4 verse 19, come, follow me. I will send you out to fish for people. I send you out to fish for people. Jesus is not apologetic. In the multitude of the people is the king's honor. And in the lack of people is the downfall of the prince. So what are the messages that a full house is sending to you and me? I guess the first one is that Jesus is being lifted up in that place. Yeah. Whenever you are seeing a lot of people going somewhere, you must understand that the people that are there in that place have found a way to lift Jesus. Jesus is being lifted. And Jesus says, if I be lifted, I will draw all people to myself. So that's the first message. Your first message is that Jesus is being lifted there. It's not the pastor, it's not the shepherd, it's not a program, it's the Savior himself that's being lifted. It is his glory that is pursued. And that's your first message. A full house means Jesus is being lifted. Number two, a full house means more people are getting saved. Number three, a full house means more people are turning to God. More people are turning to God. When you walk in your street, wherever you see people, that is what people are turning to. And the fact of the matter, precious people, is that our people are turning to taverns. And other things. But when you start seeing flocks and crowds going to a church, what does that tell you? People are turning to God. Don't you want people to turn to God in your community? Do you think that we feel that people are turning to God when it's only 60 people that are there? When it's only 70 people that are there? No, we start feeling that people in this community are turning to God when we see 400. When we see a whole crowd of people flocking there, then we can say, no, this is a clear proof. People are turning to God. And you know, we need such a message in our community. Eh? A full house means God is winning. It means God is winning. Man, I don't know how you feel when you are walking in the street and taverns are full, everywhere is full. When you come to your church, you can't even see the members. You are struggling to see if there is a member there. Eh? Is God winning? But imagine when you walk in the street, bars are empty. It's just a few people there in the tavern. I'm describing what is going to happen to your area. That I'm telling you, these people, empty. When you come, you are approaching where the church is. You are seeing cars parked all over. There's a commotion. And you are asking yourself, what is happening there? What's going on there? No, it's a church. It's a church. What is that saying? God is winning. God is winning. And it's time God start winning in the areas where you are. God is winning. What is a full house meaning? This, I'm showing you why this guy was so obsessed with a full house. A full house means the kingdom of God has come to that area. Yeah. When the kingdom of God lands, you start seeing the traffic. The traffic starts showing you which kingdom is ruling. Maybe I'm talking to myself. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. The kingdom in command is revealed by the traffic of the people. Which kingdom is ruling here? Which kingdom is in charge here? You're going to see it through where the interest of the people and the traffic and the footprint. One of Jesus' greatest introductions, the kingdom of God has arrived. And that was clearly demonstrated with power, signs, and wonder, but also with humongous crowds. People following him everywhere. I mean, he stopped everything else. The kingdom of God has come to the area. When that kingdom arrives properly, the traffic will start showing you the interest of the people. When many people are getting saved, it's going to start showing you. When Jesus is being lifted, you're going to see the traffic. A full house means more people are being blessed by the church and they are telling others. More people are being blessed and they are not quiet. Their blessings are obvious such that they are sharing it with others. I think the easiest advertisement is the natural one, the one that people are doing by themselves. So the quality of my service determines what people receive, and then it determines if they're going to talk about it. Maybe you didn't know, most of the people that you see in the taverns, they were invited by their friends. They went last week and they enjoyed it, and then they told them, no, there's a nice place, let's go there. That's how it is. So you see a lot of people flocking to a church. You must know that the pastor, the leader, whoever the person is, he is doing something there that the people are enjoying such that they are sharing it, they are talking about it. A full house means the church is losing less and less of their members. Less and less members are being lost. So we keep adding to what we already have. God added to their number. Like they already had a number, just added to it. I can't add to your number if the number has already changed. I must first regain the number before I can add to it. So you start having a full house when you stop losing your members. A full house means the church is raising laborers who can do the work of ministry. The work of ministry, when you're seeing a lot of people, you must know a lot of people are working. A lot of people are involved. It means this church has raised a lot of leaders that can sustain this. So you see, a full house is a big message. You are learning about one servant that made sure his master's party was full. What kind of servant was that? That he can go, come back, go again, come back. No, you see, what you are learning there, you are learning about the master, but you are also learning about the kind of servants the master had. Because that whole party was saved by the servant. Isn't it a wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, the servants, are very few. The people that can bring that harvest here, the people that can pay the price to move those crowds here, it's not a lot of them. But all that story, it doesn't say the servants, it says the servant. The servant. One person. One person fill up the whole house. Imagine when you have two of such, three of such. That's what you start seeing thousands of people. Because these servants are trained, they are equipped. They know what to do. As I close, remember it's just an introduction. Okay. A full house means more demons are being evicted from the people. Matthew 12:43. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person. To the person I came from. So, it returns and finds its former home. Look at the first word. Empty. Swept and in order. You know, I never understood this. Even when I was teaching this before, I reversed the order of Jesus. I said the house was in order, swept, and empty. I didn't understand why Jesus started by first saying the house was empty. I didn't understand. But today I understand. If those demons had come and found that the house is unclean, disorderly, but full, they were not going to have access. So the first thing Jesus is addressing is that their house was empty. And every time you have an empty place, do you understand? You are giving an opportunity not only for the right people to occupy it, but also for, I mean, and once a space is created, you must understand that if you don't fill it, somebody will fill it. If this demon had come and found that the place was full, disorderly, he was going to have very little to do. But it was empty, yet clean. You know, demons don't like clean environment. Yet in order. Demons don't like orderly environment. But because it was empty, he gained access. And he turned it into the way he wanted it to be. Now you understand why, as soon as Judas died, they pushed to replace him. They needed to refill that gap. Because if you leave that gap, before you realize, you produce another Judas. And you must look at our churches. Plenty chairs are just left for the devil to come and fill them for us. With his agents. Do you know that if you had taken the responsibility to fill every chair, Satan will have no chair to fill. If you had taken the responsibility that my chairs will be filled with the people God has given me, by the time Satan is sending a member, his member is finding that the chair is full, the church is full, there's no space. He has to go to another church. But he has a choice. He can sit on the left, he can sit on the right, he can sit in the middle. There are empty chairs everywhere. The condition of this man became worse because the house was empty. The house was empty. It tells you an empty church is a problem. An empty service is a problem. It opens the thing to other problems. Eh? Like Satan can operate easier in such environments. That's what we are learning here this morning. When God has helped you, don't remain empty. When you've stopped watching pornography, an emptiness has created itself. Fill it with something good. You leave it empty. I assure you. By the time you open your eyes, it will not be only for pornography now. It will be pornography with something else. Because though the evil spirit left, you did not fill the gap. That's why I always try in the church to make sure that my brothers and my sisters have beloveds. If I don't do that job, Satan will give them somebody. He will fill the gap. He will fill the gap. If you allow members to just have a lot of empty time, Satan will fill the gap. So the same way you see this man is fighting that the house must not be filled. I mean, the house must not be empty. That's how you and I must find that our lives must not be empty. Our members must not have empty space. That it's just a lot of time in their hands. We mustn't allow that thing. It's a wickedness. Or shall I say, it's a thing that brings a lot of evil. Here's school holidays. The kids have a lot of time in their hands. If we're not going to be wise and fill that time, you might find out that a lot of evil has happened because there was a lot of time available. So here are three things that the Lord is advising us to fill ourselves with. Number one, be full of the Spirit. Be full of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk on wine. So you used to drink before. Now God has delivered you from drinking. Don't remain empty. Huh? Don't be empty in the church. Oh no, thank God I'm no more drinking. What have you replaced the drinking with? He says, instead, so instead of the wine, use now something else. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not half, full. Don't leave space. Matthew 5:19, then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." There are many of us inside this man. We've occupied every space. We've occupied every space. When we are full of the Holy Ghost, demons have no space to occupy. Number two, be full of the Word. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. Richly dwell within you. Be full of the Spirit. Be full of the Word. If you are not full of the Word, you're going to be full of the world. The world. You have people under your care. Are they full of the Word? Are they full of the Spirit? These are the things you help them on. Are they having their quiet time? Don't say no. You have to show them. You have to sit and show. This is how you must have it. Otherwise, it will not happen. Number three, be full of joy. This is how you get depression out of your life. This is how you get anger out of your life. I think I've shared in a couple of branches already that one of Satan's greatest work now is to steal joy from people's heart. And believers are not aware of this scheme that is going on. That you are no more happy, you know. Satan has stolen the joy. He has stolen the joy. So now you are just this angry, grumpy, always depressed person. What is that? You are creating a climate that is conducive for demon spirits to flow. Joy is a climate that allows the Holy Ghost to flow. Anxiety and worry and anger does not allow the Holy Ghost. It allows demons. So you can be a churchgoer, but you are always sad. You are always angry. You are always worried. So even though you are coming to church, you are full of something I don't want to say. 1 Peter 1 verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Ah, you see, you believe something. There's something in you. And then it says, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Ah, you are filled, you are filled, you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And where is the joy coming from? The fact that I have not seen Jesus, but I love him. I have never seen Jesus, but I believe in him. That what I believe affects how I feel. Yeah. You cannot have inexpressible, glorious joy if you are always believing bad things. If you are always meditating on evil things. You can't have joy. You can't have joy. And whatever you are constantly meditating on, as a man thinks, so is the man. So is the man. So he says to us, guard your heart. Protect your heart. Protect yourself. Fight to be happy. Fight to carry the joy of the Lord in your soul. Reject this anger. Reject this sadness. Do you know depression? Depression is a sign you have lost hope. Whenever a person is depressed, what they are telling you is that they've stopped having hope. They've stopped expecting anything good to happen. And when you cannot have anything good that you are expecting to happen, you descend into depression. You descend into depression. Are you here? So the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. In another place, it says, rejoice always. Always. It's not just that you're excited. You know, it's that you need to keep an environment that is conducive for angelic activity, for the Holy Ghost activity, and many other activities. Receive your joy back in the name of Jesus. Receive your joy back. There's a song we used to sing, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it. The world cannot take it away. I never understood that song until I started growing up. And I realized that you have joy today doesn't mean you'll have joy tomorrow. And sometimes people are without joy for years. Satan has stolen the joy. May the Lord restore that joy in your heart, in your soul, that you'll be full of inexpressible, glorious joy from the Spirit. Remember, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So when the Holy Ghost is somewhere, he makes you to love life, to love, to just be happy. Yeah. It doesn't mean everything is okay. But if your life depends, if your happiness depends on how things are, then you will be happy maybe twice a year. Yeah. If your joy depends on what is going on, in fact, that is the difference between joy and happiness. Because happiness is based on happenings. I mean, if things are happening and they are nice, then I'm happy. If things are unhappy, then I'm unhappy. But joy is not determined on what is going on around you. Joy is the state of your spirit. Meaning you can be going through very difficult times, but you are still joyful. You still have joy. Because that is not dependent on what is going on around you. And that's where you need to be. That's what you need to trust God for. Because when you sustain that on the inside, after a while, that joy will overpower what is going on the outside. And your outside will look like your inside. And you will have exactly the world that you wanted to have. But if you keep carrying bitterness and anger and sadness in the heart, that inside is going to become outside. And your outside is going to be loom and gloom and doom. Tohu wabohu. Please fight tohu wabohu from your life. The Bible says the air was formless and void. Tohu wabohu. Are you blessed? Well, this morning as we close, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus. See, the Bible says that though we haven't seen him, we love him. And Jesus is standing at the door of your heart this morning and he's knocking. If you can allow him, he's going to come in and he's going to change your life completely. Praise the Lord. I'm going to count up to three. If you would like Jesus to come into your heart this morning, all you need to do is to raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. Jesus will come into your life. Don't continue carrying sadness and sorrow. Let Jesus come and help you live an effective life. Father, we thank you for your word that has come today. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to be full of joy, full of your word and your promises, full of your spirit, not demons, not evil spirits. The same way you want us to be, you want the house to be filled, you also want the temple, which is our body, to be filled with you. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for somebody that is watching now and that would like to open the door of their hearts to Jesus. I'm going to count up to three, and if that is you, you can raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. One, two, three. You can raise your right hand. God bless you. You want Jesus? God bless you. Please repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.